Good morning, and welcome here to Plains Presbyterian Church on this Pentecost Sunday. Our first reading this morning will be from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Both readings will be. I'll be reading the first 13 verses, and you can follow along in your pew Bibles if you are so inclined on page 948. So I invite you to listen to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word written for us, Acts chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" This ends the first reading.
I enjoy that we read two scripture readings in this church, because that way I give Frank all the hard parts with all those names and all that, and I get to continue on. So let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for your holy word. And as we dive into the meaning of Pentecost, may your word inspire our hearts so that we may live as your children. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. We will continue with the Acts passage, beginning at verse 14 and continuing through verse 21. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of the Lord. This is a weekend packed with festivities. Tomorrow, of course, being Memorial Day. It is always Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer. This spring, it has been coming upon us slowly. We had a mild winter, but I can definitely tell you, I am ready to enjoy the outside and enjoy some warmer weather. The climate here is very different from what we would expect in Israel. When we think of Israel, we often probably think of an arid and dry place, more like somewhere like Phoenix rather than Western PA. Interestingly enough, though, when I looked at what the temperature in Jerusalem was, their high will be the same high as we have here today. My in-laws live in Phoenix, and during this time of year, many of the people in Phoenix actually leave because it gets too hot. But when we would go and visit in the wintertime, it's interesting to see that I didn't expect that there's all kinds of farmland around the Phoenix area. I wouldn't expect this. I am told that in Israel as well, that there are also many different crops that are grown. I bring this up because our passage is about Pentecost. And Pentecost was a day of celebration, a festive holiday in Judaism, a holiday celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. It was a day of sacrifice to be set aside in thanksgiving to God. Our thanksgiving comes in autumn, at the end of the harvest. But Pentecost comes at the beginning of the harvest. In agrarian societies, there are often festivals celebrating the first fruits of the season. Here in Western PA, there are too many festivals celebrating various crops. Apple festivals, cherry festivals, cheese festivals, corn festivals. Should I not also mention the strawberry festival? You name a crop and we will celebrate it. Pentecost was one of these festivals. It's the time to give praise for the harvest. Jews from across the Roman world would gather back to Jerusalem to thank and praise God. As our text tells us, Jews of every nation under heaven came to celebrate. And often when people gather, there is an exuberance, a festivity. In fact, this is precisely what the disciples were accused of by some in the crowd. They were accused of being too festive. As they went out and preached and praised God, the people heard them speaking in their own native tongues, and they were amazed. But some sneered and said that they were drunk. How many of us have been to a Pirates game or a Steeler game to see people dipping a little too much into the beer and liquor? Well, this is what some of the people thought about the disciples. But Peter noted that it is too early to be drunk, for it was only 9 o'clock. But what does this holiday mean for us as Christians? We are not Jews. Most of us do not live on farms. What meaning does this holiday have for us? It is a holiday to also look back at the first fruits of God. To ask ourselves, where has God brought new life into our lives? Perhaps it is a new child in the family. or confirmation, or graduation, a marriage, a special anniversary, anywhere where the Spirit has touched us powerfully. We often look back at the first Christian Pentecost and think it is that Pentecost is about celebrating that Pentecost. But it is really about celebrating the harvest currently in our lives. Where has God sown the seeds of faith? And where have you seen them produce great fruit? Pentecost is about celebrating these fruits. Each year, Pentecost calls us to celebrate God's goodness in our lives. I love Christmas and I love Easter. I love their meaning, the theology of these great holidays. I enjoy seeing people come back to the church. I love seeing the joy on children's faces, the excitement and the pageantry. But I love Pentecost for a very different reason, specifically because it is not Christmas and Easter. Pentecost is a celebration of the faithful. The Christers have gone. Nominal Christians do not wake up on Pentecost morning and say, "I think I should go to church today." It isn't commercialized. We don't see neighborhood kids dressed up with tongues of fire dancing on their heads. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us gifts or candy underneath anything. Pentecost is about you, the faithful. The faithful who have received the Holy Spirit, who bear witness to God's love and goodness every day. It is Christianity's non-secular holy day, and it is just for the church. We call Pentecost the birthday of the church. Unfortunately, though, we often think of the church as being a building. In the Old Testament, it was the temple of Jerusalem, or an altar that might represent a holy place. But the church is not a place, and was never meant to be a place. In fact, Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in three days I will raise it up." Jesus does not need a building. For Jesus lives in us. We are the church. We are the faithful. Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered, there I am also." Wherever there are Christians gathered together, there is the church. And the church has existed for almost 2,000 years. As I turn on the TV, I see all that is going on in Jerusalem these days. There is so much war and violence. It has been going on my whole life, and far earlier than that. A place that should be the center of peace and worship too often breaks into violence and bloodshed. I would like to go to Jerusalem someday to walk where Jesus walked, but I know that I do not have to go to Jerusalem in order to experience God. for God is here with all of you and with me. It is the people of God gathered together, ordered together, doing the will of God together. This is the church. When this church was first formed, it was not formed around a building, but it was formed among the people, the faithful people who came to worship together. As is often the case, unfortunately, we forget. We become so enamored with the building that we forget what our true mission is truly about. If you look at our budget and how much money is spent in maintaining the building, and compare that to the money that we spend on mission and on outreach, are we living out what the true mission of the church is really all about? We think nothing about raising $100,000 in order to put a new roof on or to replace a boiler. But what if we raised $100,000 in order to help the needy and the poor in our community? We would find it much more difficult. And it is not only just this church, it is all the churches in this area. Somewhere along the way, we have gotten things turned around. Pentecost is supposed to put us right back seeing what is truly important. It encourages us to get outside of our Christian boxes, to experience new life, to experience Christ outside these walls. The followers of Jesus were huddled in a little room, waiting for the Spirit of Jesus to come upon them. And as they heard that thundering sound and saw the tongues descend upon them, the Spirit sent them outside. So too does the Spirit send us outside, outside to share the good news of Jesus Christ. How many times do the Gospels refer to Jesus teaching in the synagogue or the temple? You can count them on one hand. But in comparison, how many times does the Gospels tell us that Jesus went out into the homes, into the workplaces, into the town squares, to the wells, to the outcasts, to the broken individuals? This is the ministry of the church. Wherever Jesus met people, he ministered. This is the work of the church. This is what God has commissioned us as his disciples to go out and to do. And it is because the Spirit came upon those disciples, a ragtag bunch of nobodies following a crucified leader who in 50 years changed the world, because they understood that ministry existed outside of the walls. It is this same Spirit which empowers us 2,000 years later. The Spirit is calling us to take Jesus outside out into a world which desperately needs it. It is not up to us whether others catch the Spirit. It is just ours in order to bear testimony to it. Imagine what God is calling you, where God is calling you. Imagine being empowered by the Holy Spirit, bearing a rich harvest, being filled with God's thanksgiving, praising God for the first fruits in your life. This is what it means to be a Pentecost people. Friends, let us open ourselves to God's Holy Spirit. Let us be emboldened to go out into a world that needs to know God's love and wholeness. God calls each of us to have the same vigor, the same passion that those first disciples had. Let us enjoy this time of harvest. And as you go and you bear God's fruits, I look forward to hearing and seeing the harvest come in. God calls you as his Pentecost people into a Pentecost world. Amen.